from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Mr. Sal Capaccio joins us on the Western Hotline, back from Pittsburgh. A trip down to the Steel City for Springsteen, Paul Skeens, and then a football game without touchdowns.
I had such FOMO, Sal. It felt like everybody that went down for Bill Steelers, whether it was the media or fans, got a chance to see Paul Skeens on Friday night.
Yeah, and I think from what somebody was telling me we were with said that both pitchers threw 100, which is like when you go to a game, when do you see that usually from the starting pitchers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good, obviously. We got a little bit of everything. They had a 10-game losing streak, the Pirates, and they won that game. So they broke the losing streak. That was cool. We had a little bit of everything in the game, and I mean, even like an outfielder diving for a ball that hit his head. It was kind of crazy, actually. The stadium is amazing. Yeah, the stadium is amazing. It faces out in the city, and you could see the city skylines. The second time I was there, the first time was like maybe 13, 14 years ago. Just absolutely beautiful. It was a great night, and then Bruce Springsteen was incredible, fantastic. On what would that be, Thursday night, he was there, and this dude, Bruce Springsteen, is going to be 75 years old next month, and he rocked that arena for 3 straight hours without stopping. It was awesome.
803-0550 if you have a question for Sal. Sal, I want to start with something before we get to the game, because this is a clarification thing, if you would. I saw someone ask you about Corey Davis. This probably comes in the context of MVS getting hurt,
yes,
what was going to happen with the Bills. What is your understanding of what happened with Corey Davis and his tryout with the Bills?
Corey Davis worked out for the Bills, and my understanding is after he worked out for the Bills, he basically decided he didn't want to do this anymore. He still did not want to come back. He's retired. It was more of a, hey, you know, the Bills had, you know, kind of followed, stayed in contact, whatever, however those relationships work, and it was more of a, you know, let's see where we're all at, and then Corey Davis, you know, basically ended the discussion himself by saying that he just did not want to play football anymore.
All right.
Is it a little strange to you, Sal, that he would go down the path of working out, or maybe this happened while he was working out, that he just felt like my heart's not into it as much as I thought coming back?
No, I mean, I don't think so, Joe. I think that like that can happen to any of us in anything, right? Whereas, hey, you know what? Maybe I want to do this again. And then you kind of put in a little work on it and say, no, that's just not me anymore. It's not what I want to do.
Okay.
Maybe he thought about it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of money, right? I mean, they think about that too. Here's a lot of money. I can come back to play football. I do this, you know, if you're not passionate about it, You know, and I respect that. You know, if he's not passionate about it, he doesn't want to play anymore, then, you know, good for him. I don't know, guys, like, I don't know the exact details of, did he walk in the building and say, I'm done? Did he work out? Was he in the middle of a 40-yard dash and just stop at 20 and say, I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore? Like, I'm really not sure exactly those details. I just know that, you know, when it was all said and done, Corey Davis elected to stay retired.
Okay. So let's get to the game, all right? The Bills and Steelers play a game with no touchdowns. 9-3 ends up the final.
Yeah.
It was a defensive battle, whatever you want to say, but the decision to sit Josh Allen comes to, and I thought this might have been possible. They had a good joint practice, the starting offense did, so that coupled with a lot of rain, and Sean McDermott makes the call to sit Allen. Do you expect his preseason to be over at this point?
That's a good question. Probably. Considering that he did have a good joint practice, according to Sean McDermott, I thought he played pretty well too that day that I was there, and we saw that. And then you have one preseason game. Now you do have 1 week before the next preseason game, like 2 weeks, I should say. You have a week off, right? But still, man, you're talking any kind of like anything happens, twist ankle or whatever. You know, it could be, you know, that lingers a little bit. So at this point, you're probably looking at the preseason, his preseason being over. Although you never know with the way coaches want to, kind of do things these days with these preseason games. Now, I think it's important for everybody to understand it wasn't just the rain on the field. It was what the rain did to the pregame warm-up situation. All right, when we got there, guys, the field looked great. Suddenly, right around 3 o'clock, the tarp came on the field. And we're like, okay, the tarp is on. It was a monsoon with the tarp on the field. And the tarp was on the field until 5 p.m. The players did not go out there and start warming up until probably about 5:15 p.m. Then they came back out or whatever, and they left the field 6:30. So anyway, here's the point. And I'm getting my timeline maybe a little bit screwed up with the exact times. Here's the point. I was actually stunned the league did not push the game back a little bit because these guys did not warm up like they normally do. Josh Allen did not get a full warm up. Like, a lot of the guys didn't. We kept looking at the time. Me and Chris Brown and Eric Wood were like, all right, what are they going to do here? Like, these guys aren't warming up like normal. You go to a normal Bills game, you get there 2 hours before the game. Everybody's out there. Everybody's warming up, blah, blah, blah. They start, you know, that two-hour period is critical. Guys, they didn't have that. They might have warmed up for maybe an hour. And Sean McDermott made a point of, Josh didn't get a full warm-up. I wasn't going to put him out there after that. I think it's important to note here about this.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting that, and I guess fortunate that there weren't a lot of, I don't know, muscle pulls or anything like that. At least
right.
We don't think so. Like, you never know. The injury updates, though, MVS, anyone else to chime in on an injury front?
Yeah, quite a few, actually, guys. Now, obviously, Mitch Trubisky, I think, is one to really monitor here because you already have Shane Buechele, you know, who's been placed on injured reserve. But let's go through basically what happened here. You have Mitch Trubisky has a knee injury. He was ruled out of the game. He was limping on the sidelines. He was looked at by trainers. He left. I do not think, judging by what Sean said at the post-game press conference, I don't think they plan on putting Ben DiNucci in for the final 2 minute drill of the first half. But that's because Mitch had been getting looked at. I saw that happen. And then Mitch did not go out there for those 2 minutes. And then he never came. And then he came out at halftime, but not in uniform. He was in street clothes. So he was out. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, we all saw the neck injury. He left sitting on a cart. He was very upset. But the good news from Jeremy Fowler, x-rays came back negative. We'll see where that is. That's a neck injury. Austin Johnson, defensive tackle, he was declared out with a calf injury. I did see him walking around with equipment on the sidelines. Generally a good sign. Same thing I saw with Quentin Morris. He had a shoulder injury. He was ruled out. So, yeah, you had MVS, Mitch Trubisky, Austin Johnson, Quentin Morris, all ruled out of the game at some point. Also, then Javon Solomon came out of the game with a calf injury. He was also ruled out. I don't think he left the field either. So these could hopefully be all precautionary measures. But I think to me, the two most notable are MVS with the neck and Mitch Trubisky, especially because of the quarterback situation with the knee.
So I immediately look up Kyle Allen's situation. He's in Pittsburgh.
That was the other side of the field. He didn't play.
Right. They already have two quarterbacks, and Kyle Allen's their third, and their dead cap is less than $200,000. Are the Bills just going to wait for Kyle Allen? Would he be the favorite, Sal, to come back? I mean, they like to have people that Josh feels comfortable with in that room, and I think Kyle Allen is, of course, the favorite if, in fact, they're going to make a move or if they're forced to.
Yeah, I mean, are we sure? Did Kyle Allen, is he just going to get released? Are we sure of that? We're probably right. Maybe the Steelers decide to keep three QBs because maybe they have something planned for Justin Fields as far as, you know, playing as an extra, like, gadget kind of guy, right? I don't know. So maybe you want that extra quarterback on the roster, the third guy, if that's the case. So that would make sense. Yeah, I agree 100% with you guys. If he's available, you know, you do that. But if you're Kyle Allen, you also might say, no, I like my job in Pittsburgh here too and stay here if he gets released to go back to the practice squad. Now, it would be more of a active roster spot, and he's not subject to waivers. Like, that would be up to him. You know what I mean? If he got released, Kyle Allen's been in the league long enough that if he got released, the Bills just couldn't claim him. They'd have to sign him. So, yeah, it's a good possibility. Okay. Who else would be out there? You have Matt Barkley, obviously. That's the first name that comes to mind. But, mm-hmm. I mean, Matt Barkley at this point, I don't know. He's 33, so he's not like super old. He did have that injury last year. They released him. He didn't wind up playing. He is a free agent right now. So he would be a guy that obviously would definitely know the system, and he would have that relationship with Josh as well.
Yeah, it would just maybe come down to what kind of football shape he's in. Also, did he latch on with someone last year after? I'm looking at it now. He was on the Giants practice squad and then the Jaguars practice squad.
There you go. Yeah.
So he was still in the league. He just didn't obviously play. What about?
Hey, let's be clear here. We don't know the situation with Mitch yet, right?
I mean, that's right.
Mitch Trubisky, we could find out today from Sean McDermott. He'll speak later this afternoon to the media. Like, we could find out from Sean McDermott today that, you know, Mitch Trubisky is going to be okay. But yes, I think you have to have some contingency plans here going forward.
Sal Capaccio, you can get a call in if you want, 803-0550, anything you want to ask. Tough to evaluate the starting offense because of the way the quarterback played. I mean, Trubisky did not exactly have a great day. What jumped out at you, if anything, if we're talking offensive line, Keon Coleman? I mean, we didn't see Samuel. So, like, what are you coming away with from the starting offense, or, you know, anybody on the offensive side?
Run game was way better, guys. Way better. Like, that's what you want to see out of the run game compared to what we saw last week. I mean, they ran the ball physical. They ran the ball hard. Ray Davis, just what a turnaround from the I gave Ray Davis in week one an arrow down. I didn't think he ran that well. Like, I didn't think he was seeing holes well enough. I didn't think he was physical enough. I mean, he was just a beast. He ran 8 times for 58 yards. He averaged 7.3 yards a carry. I mean, Frank Gore came in 5 yards a carry, 5.1. Darrington Evans, 5.3. I mean, last week, the running backs for the Buffalo Bills against the Bears averaged under 2 yards a carry. This week, you had 2 guys over 5 and 1 over 7. And then James Cook had another 4.2, and he ran well. Somebody told me they didn't think James Cook played well. I mean, yeah, the numbers weren't like eye-popping for James Cook, but he was fine. I didn't see anything wrong. I just think the run game, 4.9 yards a carry, you know, it wasn't like Allen and Trubisky running all over the place. 167 total yards. You know, that's what stood out to me, number one. Number two, Trubisky just couldn't move the ball throwing, and they struggled throwing the ball. They struggled throwing to their wide receivers, most notably. And look at the numbers, and I did the math here. I think they had a total of 30-something yards from their wide receivers. That's it. You know, I mean, it was your leading receivers were Quentin Morris, Zach Davidson, and then Keon Coleman had one catch for 12 yards. That's it. I mean, they didn't. Have, I think they had 3 passes over 10 yards the whole game that they completed. And that includes anything with, you know, run after catch. So I really like the run game. The passing game is an incomplete because I think, you know, Mitch Trubisky just didn't look comfortable again. He holds onto the ball. He's held onto the ball too long. They took sacks. So I don't know if Josh Allen plays that game and starts that game and with that offense and goes a quarter plus, I think the Bills at least score a touchdown. I think they put a couple more scores on the board, maybe another field goal even, because I think that was seriously the stark difference between Trubisky being out there as well.
Yeah, on both sides of the field, Sal. Like, it's one thing about Allen, there were some stats around social media last week that he's the best quarterback in the league at not letting pressure turn into sacks. And here, look for comparison on both sides. It felt like the Bills' quarterbacks were hanging onto the football a lot, and that certainly was happening with Pittsburgh. It's hard to evaluate, right? Like, everything, even your offensive line, your receivers, when, like, the ball's just, like, once in a while, the ball's got to come out. And it felt like every quarterback in that game was just afraid to throw it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, I don't know. This is 2 weeks in a row, though, which is why it's concerning for Mitch. You know, for me, the backup quarterbacks, and even DiNucci. Like, DiNucci had a good, you know, day on Thursday. Like, he's looked pretty good. McDermott and Bean really like kind of, the, you know, his the way he throws the football. So, You know, I mean, again, you're working with the third team there, but you know, it just wasn't great throwing the ball. But again, and I think a couple times pass protection, but I think that was also because, like you said, Joe, you got to get rid of the ball a little bit, you know. And if Josh is out there, maybe it's a little bit different. I mean, you guys have talked, I'm sure. I don't know if you talked this morning about the Keon Coleman play. There's a lot made of that play. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to see him catch that ball. There's no doubt about it. I also don't think it was a very good pass, to be quite honest, right? I mean, like, that stretched out there, and, you know, Keon's got a guy right there. I don't know. I mean, You want to say alligator arms? I don't think so necessarily. I mean, that's a tough catch to make in that situation. You'd love to see him catch it. There's no doubt. I don't think it should be anything definitive on who he is or what kind of player he is going forward, though.
One thing I thought, Sal, during this game was that, you know, I don't know if Coleman will play a lot in the third preseason game, but he's playing into the second half. Part of that's probably due to how many injuries they have at the position, right? Claypool not available, of course. He's gone. Some new guys in. We're hearing a lot about how little the passing game was, I guess, really prepared for this. So I don't want to read too much into Coleman being there in the second half. But I do think that the Bills might have been really wanting to get him something. The end zone target, yeah. Again, I think they want to get him involved and not just in a little dump pass that goes to a guy when he's got off coverage.
Agreed. I mean, that you're trying to do that. You're trying to give him reps is what you're doing. You're trying to get him comfortable. You're trying to get him reps because, excuse me, I think Jeremy, you're right. One thing that we said on the broadcast, Eric was talking about this a little bit. He might not play next week, as you just mentioned. And if he doesn't, you need to get him more reps into this game, so I think that was also part of, you know, what was in mind about getting these guys in and the starting offensive line and guys like Keon Coleman playing a little bit deeper maybe than you would think. It's because, hey, like, this is your last chance because we're not doing this next week. We just want to make sure and keep everybody healthy. So, yeah, I mean, it's an incomplete. I think we're going to go into week one against the Arizona Cardinals, I think, still wondering kind of about Keon Coleman and what his role is and what he can do in this offense.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Go ahead.
We're just real quick on receiver to wrap, Sal. We talked about Corey Davis at the top. If MVS is going to miss some time, would you expect they're going to bring in another body, or do you think they have enough?
I would think they would probably try to roll with the guys they have because he's not one of the top four core to me right now anyway, Joe. Like, I think he's fighting for a spot. So even if he's going to miss some time, look, you still have the option of that one guy at the end of camp. You could put two guys now you could put on injured reserve right at the end of camp and then bring him back. Whereas, you know, you should not be able to do that. That could happen. If he's going to miss some time, let's say it's longer term. If they say, hey, you know, we won't have him. Sure, you could probably, you know, look around. You know what I think they would do, Joe, in that situation? I think you'd probably wait to see who shakes loose on the waiver wire or who shakes loose from, you know, free agency at the end of camp. That's when you might bring a body in. I don't think you'd necessarily go out and sign anybody right now, you know, for the middle of your depth chart, probably for the back end, maybe for bodies for this week. You might need that. But if he's going to miss any extended time, you're probably looking at, seeing what happens at the end of camp when final cuts are made.
To the defense, we saw good stuff from the passers. It was tough, Sal. You got to pick between when you win a rep versus when one of these quarterbacks stays in the pocket long enough for somebody to get there. But I think Greg Rousseau jumped off the screen. Before we do that, I can't believe we made it this far and without talking about Joe Andreessen too much. I mean, he's the story of the game. We opened the show talking about him. Just what it was like to be a part of that. And, you know, I wonder how the rest of the team felt for him. I saw Alan on an interview call him. They said they call him Buffalo Joe. And here's Joe Andreessen, like, game ball afterwards. How big a deal was it, you think, to the players in the room to see him get that moment?
I think that Joe has really acclimated himself as a really great teammate. The players, as you guys can imagine, you understand that, like, at this level, when you come from the kind of story that this kid did and does, to go on a rookie tryout camp and OTAs, rookie mini camp. That's where he was, rookie minicamp. Hey, they're trying out a local kid, Joe Andreessen. Ah, good for him. Nice, cute story, right? 2 days later, he signs an NFL contract. The only guy. Like, there were, like, what, 5, 6, 10 guys at, you know, rookie tryouts, basically. And then to see him progress through OTAs, through minicamp, through training camp, I'm going to tell you this. Like, I just kind of reading the room a little bit, guys, I will say, I think Joe Andreessen, if they had had more injuries to non-linebackers a few weeks ago, I'm not sure Joe Andreessen's even on the roster as of last week. Like, they had so many injuries popping up at wide receiver, at safety, at, you know, whatever, defensive line, that, like, they needed numbers at other places. Shane Simon, a linebacker, was released at one point. He was brought back. So this guy sticks around maybe only because there's an injury or two at linebacker a couple of weeks ago during the red and blue scrimmage. Remember, a couple of guys left, right? And then all of a sudden, he gets a few more reps. He's calling the defense. He's been learning. He's been training the defense. And to get to this point now and have to fill in, and look, Terrell Bernard can't play. They held Terrell Bernard out because, you know, Milano, you want to keep some preservation there. Baylen Specter can't play. Nicholas Morrow can't play. Hey, Joe, you're starting. You're calling the defense. And him to do that. I'm just telling you, from a player's perspective, to play like that, that's like the ultimate respect you get in the room. Yes, they all are aware of his story. They all know he's from Buffalo. That's not the key point to the players in the room. The players in the room respect the hell out of a guy who came in and worked his ass off to get to what he's doing right now, which is amazing.
What can it turn into?
I'm not sure, guys. It's really interesting to me, right? Because, look, I mean, you watch the film, and it's, I mean, I got Brian Baldinger tweeting about it.
I say that to Joe. Like Baldy's breakdowns, Joe Andreessen.
They just showed on ESPN in here while we were talking, Sal, before this commercial that's on right now. They showed a clip of him covering George Pickens, who was lined up in the slot.
I don't know what to do, because here's the issue now. First of all, and look, let's make one thing clear. He doesn't play Matt Milano's position, for everybody who's saying, oh, Matt Milano replacement. No, he's a Mike linebacker. He's training at the middle of the defense. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Joe Andreessen suddenly goes to Will linebacker and he becomes the next Matt Milano. The way this is going, I have no idea, right? But that's not his position. His position is Mike linebacker. That's where Terrell Bernard plays, all right? So that's not going to happen, at least not initially. Maybe you start training him over there if you can. But here's the issue the Bills have to me. He just put this on film for everybody to see. If the Buffalo Bills release Joe Andreessen at the end of camp, he could get claimed by another team. He's in his first year, and bam, you just lose him. He's gone. He's on another team now. Mm-hmm. So you can't even kind of sneak him to the practice squad unless Brandon Bean's confident that, hey, you know what, it was a real nice story, but nobody in the league's really going to see and to put this guy in their 53. But I don't know at this point. I thought about a week and a half ago, if you asked me about Joe Andreessen, and plenty of people do, my response was, you know what, maybe as a shot at the practice squad. That'd be really nice because he knows the defense. I'm sitting here telling you now, I wonder if he could push Nicholas Morrow off the roster. I mean, that's where I'm thinking right now. Baylen Specter has had a few too many injuries in his career already, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they want to move off Baylen Specter. Baylen Specter was a guy that started against the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game last year. He is a he's a draft pick from a couple years ago. Like, there's a lot of factors here. I just don't know, like, how you keep him around at this point in some capacity, but to get him to the practice squad, you have to release him. Then he's subject to waivers, and everybody saw what he could do.
What about Deion Jones for this? Is he in a competition too? He played after Andreessen, right, Sal?
He did. I've always thought Deion Jones more as a Will linebacker, though. He's a guy with a lot of interceptions in his career, right? Train. These guys have to know all the positions, right? When I say that for the Bills, let's remember, they have to play all these positions. They have to know all these positions at linebacker. But Deion Jones, to me, is more of a guy that's going to be out there in passing situations. Anyway, just real quick, on Joe Andreessen, just watching the film, though, he diagnoses so quickly. That's what really, like, stood out to me. Like, he diagnoses, he gets there. He's not the best athlete, but he makes up for it by being so smart and understanding. Now, the question I'm going to have is, what happens when teams are game planning against him? What happens when teams are really running misdirection and trying to get him a little bit flat-footed? You saw one play where he hit the hole in Jalen Warren game, a little stutter step, right? He was caught a little flat-footed. It was like the one play where it just kind of stood out where, okay, those are things where, are they, because that's what they're going to do to guys like Dorian Williams, right? Dorian Williams, play action. Dorian Williams, he bites on something. That's kind of has been his bugaboo so far. Like, that, those are things that I still have questions about with Joe Andreessen. But holy cow, I mean, what an incredible story. And I just don't know how this is going to play out over the next 2 weeks.
Quickly, Sal, before we get out of here, Greg Rousseau in his game. I mean,
Oh, my God.
Especially the one sack where he just throws, I think it's Broderick Jones to the side.
I went up to Greg Rousseau in the locker room after the game, and I said, I'm like, I don't know if you've seen the replay yet, but you just absolutely destroyed Broderick Jones. And he just had the smile. He goes, oh, man, thanks. I said, listen, it's like when I don't want my son to win and I just basically, and he says, let's wrestle, and I just push him to the ground, right? I'm like, okay, let's go. Like, I mean, like, that's basically what, you know, what winds up happening there. It was amazing. He was a beast. He was, if Greg Rousseau, if that part of his game can be what, even like close to what we saw on Saturday, this is a Pro Bowl player. I mean, he is already a very, very solid run defender. If he could add that part of his pass rush to his game to be like that, I mean, oh my gosh, what an incredible boost that would be to this defense. He was terrific.
Sal Capaccio, Western Hotline, wrapping up Bills, Steelers up next, Panthers, and then off to the regular season. Thank you, Sal. What's coming up? Extra Point Show today?
The Extra Point Show today, working on actually just texting my buddy Len Jankowicz, who longtime Lancaster high school football coach. I believe, you know, Eric Rupp, I think, coached Coach Joe, but Len knows all about, you know, his story. And he also, Coach Jankowicz is in the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame because he's also a great football coach. So I wanted to like tap into him, and not, he's broken down the film. I want to see what he saw from Drew Andreessen. So we're going to try and make that happen at 10:30 a.m. today on the Extra Point Show.
Very good. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. I'm just going through, and it's not on Twitter. The Bills put on Instagram. Josh Allen and Kyle Allen took a picture together at Pittsburgh at the Acrisure Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills captioned it with the Allens. He's going to be back here in a week. If Trubisky is really hurt, Kyle Allen will be on this roster in a week. Right? Pittsburgh's keeping a third quarterback? I don't think so.
I mean, their top two looked pretty bad.
But
do they want him to play in the final preseason game though?
Okay, fine. Do the Bills want him to play in the final preseason game?
Kyle, why is he different than Barkley?
Is Barkley active?
Right. I don't know what shape he's in. He was in the league at the end of last year.
Then again, part of the point is you don't have to be active. You just have to be someone that is good in the room with the quarterback, and if we actually need a quarterback to play, we might trade for one. That's my prediction. If Allen were to ever get hurt this year, they would trade for someone.
You would like to think, though, that there's no chance that Ben DiNucci is their backup quarterback week one?
Absolutely no chance.
There's no chance, right?
Nope. Absolutely no.
Okay.
Well, I guess I shouldn't say no chance.
Go trade for Tyler Huntley, who's the third-string quarterback for Cleveland. Do that instead. But really, they got to know him. They got to know the starting quarterback.
Allen does. He's got to know him. 803-0550 on WGR.
You watch this now and you go, they got a player here from Lancaster to Bryant College to University of Buffalo. Watch him right here. Beat Daniels right here. Gets his outside arm free and chases down Jalen Warren. A tough open field tackle for any linebacker in this league. The guy can really play. And now here's Justin Fields on 4th-and-2. The Justin Fields, one of the great athletes at quarterback. And you watch him and watch him how he reads this. Like, this was just an inviting to the Buffalo Bills to see if he could make the 90-man squad. And then he chases down Justin Fields.
Joe Andreessen gets a Baldy's breakdown. So, speaking of the defense and how it looked against the Steelers, time for the stat of the day.
The stat of the day.
The stat of the day.
Let's go.
I saw this on ESPN. Get up. Multiple sack games in the NFL the last 3 seasons, I think it was.
Okay.
Only one quarterback in the NFL has taken multiple sacks in a game more than Justin Fields. One quarterback in the NFL.
Multiple sacks
in a game more than Justin Fields. Who was the only quarterback to have taken more multiple sack games than Justin Fields?
Daniel Jones.
Incorrect.
Is it Trubisky?
Also incorrect.
Okay. Sam Howell.
The answer is very fun.
Okay. It's a fun answer.
It's a fun answer. The only quarterback in the NFL to have taken multiple sacks in a game more frequently than Justin Fields is... What's the most fun answer?
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why am I having trouble with what would be a fun answer here?
What would be an unintentionally hilarious answer?
Is it Russell Wilson?
It is Russell Wilson.
That's funny.
It is the only guy.
That's good.
So, listen.
He was running into, like, he ran straight into a sack.
He's horrible.
In the first quarter.
I'm not here to tell you how to run your fantasy team, but if you're going to do a redraft league where you can stream defenses, consider streaming against the Steelers for the sacks alone.
Yeah. Man, I had a draft last night. It was a super flex league. So, like, it's two quarterbacks, so every quarterback gets picked. You know who the last starting quarterback picked was? It was Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
He went after Minshew, even. I picked Bo Nix ahead of him. May went ahead of him.
Hey.
He was the last. Actually, Fields went above Wilson. I didn't even notice that until right now.
That's pretty good. Jeremy and Joe, your phone calls, your thoughts, your whatever. It is preseason football. We take the preseason pledge, but, you know, there's stuff to comment on, and you're more than welcome to. The good news is, well, actually, this is the curse of the preseason. No one remembers what happens in the preseason. But if you say something crazy about something from the preseason, people will remember that. Your friends will remember that you thought that Rod Streeter was going to be the next T.O. If you said that to your friends... you're going to remember that.
All right.
I meant as to the next T.O. I liked Rod Streeter.
The next T.O.
But seriously, if you have a take to your friends in the preseason, they're going to remember that take, and they're not going to remember anything else that actually happened in the games. Richard in Rochester up next as we connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer.
Yeah, good morning.
Hey, Richard.
Great show. So I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
One of the things I was thinking about with the Pittsburgh game, I normally don't reflect on this, but I was thinking about the post-Kelly era and the post-Ben era, and it seems like the Steelers are kind of on this quarterback carousel of trying different things. I mean, we brought in Bledsoe, we brought in Flutie, we brought in some good draft picks like a Todd Collins. We did a bunch of other things, but we just never got it right till Josh. And I know that the degree of difficulty to get a great quarterback like a Josh Allen, but they seem to be spinning around with you know, marginal picks, the Mason Rudolphs and the Kenny Picketts, and they don't seem to really have a strategy. And they've got a couple of people in that, you know, have a lot of gray areas, in their performance, one early in the career, one late in the career.
Yeah.
Just wanted your comments on that.
Thanks, Richard. Well, the thing about this is where Pittsburgh could be in a specific kind of trouble here.
Mm-hmm.
they're not going to pick high enough to find out.
Yep.
You really can't count on one going late. Sometimes you get lucky, and sometimes, let's look at it. The teams that have gone seamlessly from one to another good one. Jordan Love is an example, if in fact he is great.
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis, Andrew Luck, they picked first. Right? Who else goes from one quarterback right to the next, right to the next?
It doesn't happen much.
It doesn't happen much. When it happens, I mean, sometimes it's system-based. You want to say Kyle Shanahan. But Pittsburgh is going to routinely win eight games with Mike Tomlin. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
And if he were a lot worse, or if he had an Andy Reid collapse in Philly, they might be able to pick one high. They picked Kenny Pickett. Where'd they pick him? 20th.
Yeah.
He was the first quarterback taken at 20, which tells you everything you need to know about what the NFL thought of him as a prospect. If a quarterback is any good at all, mm-hmm. he's going in the top three. The whole league said no thanks.
Right.
So they're running into a problem that New England ran into with Mac Jones. And what do? They took one at three, Drake May. So
yep.
if you're not near the top to get one, you are most likely going to be stuck in this spot. You hope for a class where there are four or five available, and that's where Allen is the third guy taken and Lamar is the fifth guy taken. You hope to get lucky that way, but more often than not, you've got to go near the top to get one.
Yeah. They tried the veteran route here, because the problem is, they're kind of in a weird type of purgatory.
They went veteran route, but you could not possibly go cheaper than they did.
Because it was $1 million.
Yeah, because Russell Wilson got paid by Denver, and they brought him in. It was the cheapest possible money spent.
Right, because Wilson didn't care. He was already getting his money.
Right.
And I think wasn't the deal everything he got paid by Pittsburgh came off of Denver, so Wilson was going to have the same money anyway?
I believe that's right.
So to him, it didn't matter.
Right. He wanted to go where the opportunity might have looked best.
But they're in a special type of purgatory, because as long as Tomlin's there, don't most people think they'll never be picking high enough?
Yes.
So they're kind of stuck.
They'll never be picking high enough. I don't think they've won a playoff game in more than a decade.
Unless they think they're getting like a Dak Prescott someday.
Which I suppose is possible.
They could just keep hoping someone's available.
Brandon Ayuk, or are they going to chicken out?
How does Brandon Ayuk want to play for that team so bad?
I mean, I would imagine.
Did he watch that and go like, maybe he didn't watch on Saturday.
Hopefully he watched. If he watched on Saturday, he's signing today.
What do you mean? Why?
If he watched
with the Niners, he's signing. Yeah.
Yeah. If he watched that Steelers performance and watched those guys not throw the ball,
he's like, I'm never going to get the football.
He woke up in a cold sweat and was like, I got to sign as fast as possible.
Part of that clip I mentioned that ESPN showed about Pickens being covered by Andreessen was after Wilson threw it to the right for like no gain, Pickens kind of threw his arms down. Like in frustration.
Uh-oh.
Like mad at Wilson because he didn't throw him the football while being covered by a linebacker. Andreessen was there, but Pickens was not happy with Wilson.
That means he wants out and he's got to go.
All right, trade
him
out. Francisco.
Get him out. When the All-22 of this game comes out, there's one play I'm very interested to see. 4:29 left in the second quarter. Trubisky in at quarterback. I'd said to Sal, and he agreed. And I think the Bills really want to get Coleman involved. They want to get him a couple of catches. They want him to run after the catch. They want him involved in these preseason games, even though the fact that he's not made a lot of noise doesn't matter that much. I think they want him to. 4:29 left, second quarter, when we get the All-22. MBS runs a clear out route on the left side. MBS is kind of the inside receiver. Coleman's on the outside. You can see on the screen, he starts to break across. And we might as well call it the gauntlet route. I think Keon Coleman's going to run the gauntlet route all year. Out wide, across the field, get him in space, get him the ball. That'll be the plan. And when the looks are right, they'll get it to him. And I think on that play, that's exactly what they were trying to do. I won't know fully until we see the All-22 when that is available. But bet you $5 he's running the gauntlet route on that play. It's a play he's caught at camp a bunch of times. When they're not in the red zone, he's catching that ball a lot from Allen.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550. Gordon, stick with us. We'll get a call on the other side. More of your calls as well. A Buffalo Bills preseason football Monday. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Good morning. Overcast, rained overnight. Maybe more rain on the way today. Jeremy and Joe, I've got a trivia question. I love it. Instant trivia when we get back. So not exactly instant because it'll be next segment, but we got Gordon on hold. He wants to chat about the Bills after their preseason win in Pittsburgh. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Joe, nice to talk to you guys. I just want to say before I get to my point on the Bills,
this Caleb Williams stuff, if anybody's going to get sick of it, it's not going to be me. It's a USC product. Now, that's a brilliant segue onto this next part. Juju Smith-Schuster, how realistic is it? If it's not realistic, what are we going to do if MVS either isn't catching or we figure out today from Sean McDermott later on that it's going to take him a little longer than we expected to get on the field healthy?
That's a good question. Like, what's the what's their next move if MBS is going to be out? Which I don't think he will. Right, the story is looks like he'll be okay, but
okay by when though? Okay by the regular season? Okay by tomorrow?
Like Claypool went from day to day to done for the year,
right?
Which was odd. And they've brought in Deion Kane, Demir Bird, and they worked out Corey Davis, who Sal says his understanding is Davis decided he was no longer interested.
Yep. Do you know how old Juju Smith-Schuster is?
32.
32?
It's a guess.
Yeah. You know how old he is? 27.
Okay.
He had 27.
He had 933 yards 2 years ago with the Chiefs and scored a touchdown against the Bills.
Isn't the thing, though, with him, I think, and this is what, like, he's a worthy question because he's probably right now the biggest name that's a receiver that's available. Doesn't it sound like his knee is completely shot?
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, I know it's a different position. I'm thinking of Todd Gurley for this a little bit. Todd Gurley was a star player at his position at running back that was done in the league at 26 years old. Why? Because he had a degenerative knee condition, and it ruined his career. And it's not the exact same thing with Juju, but it feels like it's similar. Like he's 27, and he might be done because he can't get healthy. His knee might be toast. So for me, nah, I'm out. And honestly, even if he was kind of healthy, isn't he just another version of what the Bills already have? Like, he's not an MVS type, right? He's not running down the field. He's not playing out on the outside. Like, he's a slot guy. So, again, good question because he's the biggest name, but I'm out. I'm not in on him at all.
I don't know who else there is. Wait for somebody to get cut.
Josh Gordon.
Break time, and then...
Michael Thomas is
Michael
the name.
Michael Thomas.
Is he out of the league? Is he done? I haven't heard his name anywhere offseason.
He's big slot at this point in his career.
Yeah. But he's the biggest... He's the other biggest name available. And not a peep.
Some Denver trivia upon our return. It is kind of incredible. That's next.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe, I've got a trivia question. I love it. Instant trivia when we get back. So not exactly instant because it'll be next segment, but we got Gordon on hold. He wants to chat about the Bills after their preseason win in Pittsburgh. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Joe, nice to talk to you guys. I just want to say before I get to my point on the Bills, this Caleb Williams stuff, if anybody's going to get sick of it, it's not going to be me. It's a USC product. Now, that's a brilliant segue onto this next part. Juju Smith-Schuster, how realistic is it? If it's not realistic, what are we going to do if MVS either isn't catching or we figure out today from Sean McDermott later on that it's going to take him a little longer than we expected to get on the field healthy?
That's a good question. Like, what's what's their next move? If MVS is going to be out, which I don't think he will, right? The story is looks like he'll be okay. But
okay by when, though? Okay by the regular season? Okay by tomorrow?
Right, Claypool went from day-to-day to done for the year,
right?
Which was odd. And they've brought in Deion Kane, Demir Bird, and they worked out Corey Davis, who Sal says his understanding is Davis decided he was no longer interested.
Yep. Do you know how old Juju Smith-Schuster is?
32.
32?
It's a guess.
Yeah. You know how old he is? 27.
Okay.
He had 27.
He had 933 yards 2 years ago with the Chiefs and scored a touchdown against the Bills.
Isn't the thing, though, with him, I think, and this is what, like, he's a worthy question because he's probably right now the biggest name that's a receiver that's available. Doesn't it sound like his knee is completely shot?
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, I know it's a different position. I'm thinking of Todd Gurley for this a little bit. Todd Gurley was a star player at his position at running back that was done in the league at 26 years old. Why? Because he had a degenerative knee condition, and it ruined his career. And it's not the exact same thing with Juju, but it feels like it's similar. Like he's 27 and he might be done because he can't get healthy. His knee might be toast. So for me, nah, I'm out. And honestly, even if he was kind of healthy, isn't he just another version of what the Bills already have? Like he's not an MVS type. Right, he's not running down the field. He's not playing out on the outside. Like he's a slot guy. So, again, good question because he's the biggest name. But I'm out. I'm not in on him at all.
I don't know who else there is. Wait for somebody to get cut.
Josh Gordon.
Break time, and then
Michael Thomas is
Michael
the name.
Thomas.
But is he out of the league? Is he done? I haven't heard his name anywhere all offseason.
He's big slot at this point in his career.
Yeah. But he's the other biggest name available. And not a peep.
Some Denver trivia upon our return. It is kind of incredible. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.